Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Well, several adherents of the QAnon conspiracy theory were on the ballot yesterday in Florida. Most lost, but one race is still up in the air. We're going to talk about the QAnon conspiracy theory next on Radioactivity. But first, two listener comments about yesterday's program. One of the comments is about wearing masks. The other is about a claim from one of our callers that said that America's cities are on fire. Here's what two listeners had to say.
In regards to yesterday's show, a speaker from the National Democratic Convention, a daughter of a gentleman, her father died from COVID-19. For that, I am truly sorry for her loss. I believe he was in his mid-60s and an avid outgoing individual. He apparently attended a bar that had karaoke to boot, allowing him to contact COVID, she said, before masks were recommended in confined interior spaces, which is quite possible. But alas, he may have contacted it in an elevator or a 7-Eleven or a church or someone that gets in your face when they talk. We all experience that scenario, Rob. They're right there, right in front of you, even before COVID. Anyway, restaurant owners, managers, employees need a break before they go broke. I was in the hospitality world for many, many years throughout all the money-making seasons, flu seasons, non-snowbird seasons. There's no money to be made, and economic downturns. Let's not solely target restaurant and bars for COVID births, as I have been hearing predominantly. Savvy? Pete signing out, a local beach bar supporter of the Barrier Islands.
Hey, Rob. You rarely need to be corrected, but you had a call yesterday, on Tuesday, explaining how the cities were burning in this country. And you refuted it and asked for information. I want to say the cities are burning, but it's due to climate change, and it's happening in California. Look it up. There's like 30 wildfires.
Well, there you have some listener comments that came in after yesterday's program. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. The QAnon conspiracy theory has emerged during the last 3 years among defenders of President Trump. It says there's a worldwide cabal of Satan-worshipping pedophiles who rule the world, and they control everything, essentially. The theory says there's an alleged deep state against President Trump and his supporters. The theory began with an October 2017 post on the anonymous image board 4chan by Q, who was presumably an American individual. Q claimed to have access to classified information involving the Trump administration and its opponents in the U.S. Q tells his followers that many liberal Hollywood actors, Democratic politicians, and high-ranking officials are members of an international child sex trafficking ring. Q also claims that Trump feigned collusion with Russians to enlist Robert Mueller to join him in exposing that ring and preventing a coup d'etat by Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and George Soros. QAnon adherents believe there will eventually be a mass arrest of the people involved in this worldwide conspiracy. In yesterday's elections here in Florida, several congressional candidates on the Republican side had indicated support for QAnon. So far, it appears that none of those candidates won their party's nomination for the congressional elections this fall, although one race is still very close. We're joined now by Jeet Heer, who is the national affairs correspondent for The Nation magazine. And in the latest issue of The Nation, he has a new piece called QAnon is the Future of the Republican Party. And he joins us live right now. Jeet, welcome to WMNF. Good to have you here.
Yeah, good to be here.
So tell me why, first of all, why you think QAnon is the future of the Republican Party.
Well, I think we're seeing a similar trajectory towards things like the Tea Party and Trumpism, where, you know, you have people running, some winning, some losing, but and more importantly, it's polarizing the party, and the people denouncing it are kind of in a minority or at lower levels, whereas people at the highest level are embracing it. And we saw that, like, I think in some ways, it's the new Trumpism. Like, you know, like when Trump first ran, there were a lot of people like Lindsey Graham who said, like, this guy's way out of line, and then, you know, later became supporters. And with QAnon, it's happening even, like, much faster. One candidate who won in Georgia, initially there were a few Republican Congress people who denounced her, because, you know, in addition to being QAnon, she also said some very racist things against African Americans and Muslims. But Trump himself celebrated her victory with a tweet, and then also the House Minority Leader also welcomed her. So I feel like the embrace by the party establishment is what is disturbing here.
Is it fear, do you think, that that's why these top Republicans are not separating themselves from the QAnon conspiracy theory, because then you'll look like you're part of this pedophile organization? Or what's your theory on this?
I think that, I mean, certainly you would open yourself up to accusations like that. I think it's more simple than that, which is that QAnon is actually quite popular with the base. And I mean, Facebook did an analysis where, like, there's, like, you know, several million people who follow QAnon memes every day and spread them. Like, it has a genuine mass following. And if you're a minority party, like, which the Republicans are, in the sense of, like, actual numbers, like, they can sometimes win elections because of the Electoral College or because of the, you know, the makeup of the Senate. But, you know, like, if in actual numbers, for a long time, they've been getting less votes than the Democrats. So if you're a minority party, you kind of hold on to every vote you can. And they can't really afford to, like, alienate the QAnon people. And they're more afraid of losing those voters than, like, afraid of the voters that they're going to alienate by embracing QAnon. So, I mean, in some ways, it's the exact same logic of, like, going with Trump. And it's a kind of extension. I think in the long historical trend, QAnon will be seen as the next phase of Trumpism.
We're talking with Jeet here, who's the national affairs correspondent for The Nation magazine. He's written a new piece called QAnon is the Future of the Republican Party. And you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. So if President Trump, let's just say, for instance, that President Trump was a known associate of Jeffrey Epstein when it comes to pedophiles. So President Trump was associating with Jeffrey Epstein, so why isn't he considered to be part of this massive secret pedophile ring that controls everything around the world?
Well, I mean, I think in some ways, QAnon rose up as a response to, like, accusations against Trump on the sexual end. And even, like, you know, back in 2016, the Epstein stuff has been known for a long time. And I think if you look at the early people who were spreading QAnon, like Roger Stone, the political purpose is kind of clear. It's kind of like exonerate Trump. And, to, you know, I mean, the basic theory is that, like, Trump is trying to destroy the pedophile network. So, like, if you have a photo of Trump, you know, partying with Epstein, as you do, many photos, you know, him saying he wishes he slain Maxwell well, that can all be explained as saying, well, Trump is actually trying to infiltrate the QAnon network. This is all like a clever false flag operation. I mean, I think to understand QAnon, you have to understand that, like, there are people who follow the news and suffer a certain amount of cognitive dissonance because they like Trump, but they see bad things about Trump. They see, you know, credible accusations of sexual predation, or they see the Russiagate stuff. And QAnon is a way of explaining that, to say, like, actually, like, he's actually secretly a good guy, and anything bad we see is a front.
Wow. Yeah. So in years past, for instance, in the early 1960s, William F. Buckley, who was a conservative writer and founded the National Review, he came into prominence and denounced the John Birch Society, because the John Birch Society then and now believes in conspiracy theories. So he was trying to put the Republican Party on a more mainstream, fact-based path. And for a while, he was successful. So don't you think that somebody will come along, for instance, you know, there are some former members of Congress who've now come out against the QAnon theory. Don't you think that at some point some prominent Republican will come out and say, stop, we got to stop this nonsense?
I think there's a couple of differences. Well, it's true that former members of Congress or even retiring members of Congress denounce it, but I think that tells you everything you need to know. That if it's like someone who's like currently running now, they feel like they can't afford to alienate QAnon. But also, I think that the whole media environment has shifted since the time of Buckley, that you had gatekeepers at a time where you had three networks and you had PBS, and Buckley had prominence because he had the show on PBS, and you had newspapers, and, you know, he was a widely syndicated columnist. So someone like Buckley could act as a gatekeeper. But I'll actually also notice that even with the Birch Society, like, Buckley was able to denounce, but people like Barry Goldwater and Ronald Reagan were actually pretty cagey about, like, not denouncing the Birch Society. And, like, or trying to say, well, they don't agree with the society, but they welcome the members. I think that we've reached a point, though, where, you know, like, these groups have such prominence on social media that it's very hard to police them in the same way.
Do you think that QAnon is a nonviolent movement?
Well, I don't think that, because I know that it's a violent movement, because there actually have been, you know, people QAnon-inspired violence. Most notably, like, a case in New York where a guy killed a mob boss. But I'm up here in Canada, and we had someone who was a QAnon follower who tried to kill our prime minister. So it's definitely inspired violence. And if you think about it, like, logically, like, the structure of the conspiracy is such that you would have to have violence, right? Like, if you think that there's a pedophile ring out there that's, like, abusing children, and that they're, and you know the names of the people who are doing this, like, why would you permit that? Like, you know, like, the norm and the authorities aren't doing anything. You would, like, it's a logical thing to do to try to take, you know, the law into your own hands. So I think it's a very disturbing thing, but it's, there has been violence.
Donald Trump, you write about in your story for The Nation magazine, Donald Trump Jr. has shared an Instagram post suggesting that Joe Biden is a pedophile. That would be a sign to the QAnon believers that Joe Biden is part of this worldwide conspiracy that they fear.
You know, that's absolutely right. Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, there's a couple of things there. I mean, but also, you know, his father, who's the president, you know, I think it's like there's been at least 70 occasions where he's retweeted somebody who's a QAnon follower, and he's kind of like used on other occasions QAnon catchphrases. So, like, I think that this is all very deliberate. Like, I think that they want to, you know, and Trump was asked about QAnon and he refused to disavow it. I think that, like, the whole strategy is not to explicitly endorse it, but to kind of give hints that you support it. But I think it also has, it's all about drawing contrast, right? Like, you want to say that Trump is better than the opponent. And given what we know about Trump, and given, you know, like, the stuff, you know, you have someone who's, like, boasted on tape about grabbing women by their genitals. If you have that, then you need someone, the opponent, to be even worse. You need, in 2016, Hillary Clinton to be, you know, involved with Pizzagate and a devil worshiper. And you need Biden to be a pedophile. Like, you have to have something you can show that the other guy is even worse than Trump.
Ajit here is the national affairs correspondent at The Nation magazine. He's the author of several books, including In Love with Art, and he's written a new piece called QAnon is the Future of the Republican Party. So I looked it up. There were a bunch of congressional primary races yesterday here in Florida, and there were at least four where several Republicans running in the primary race for Congress were either identified as QAnon believers or had retweeted or posted QAnon material on websites. But in three of the four races that I looked at, those people came in really nearly dead last. The Republican Party really rejected the QAnon believers in favor of somebody more mainstream. Now, there is one race that's still up in the air, and I think it's Congressional District 20 in South Florida. That's very close, and a QAnon believer could pull that one out. But if three out of four times Republicans reject QAnon, I mean, that would go against your theory that it's the future of the party.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the comparable thing would be something like the Tea Party, where, like, the Tea Party didn't win all the races in 2010. In fact, they've lost many of them. But if you win enough of them, and also you get enough of a presence where the party has to accept it, you can, everyone else kind of falls into line. And so I think that there have been enough cases where Republicans in other races outside of Florida have either nominated a QAnon person or someone. It's a more ambiguous case where there are people who kind of use QAnon language but don't explicitly do so. And also, the fact is that Donald Trump, if you have the president of the United States embracing, people from this movement, that also sets the tone for the party. Like, I feel like it's already there. The final aspect of why I think it is going to be the future, I think you're definitely going to have QAnon people in Congress. Like, with the Green up in Georgia, she's in a very safe Republican district. And so I think that she's going to be in, and I think there will be a few others. I think that the reason why it'll spread even beyond that is also that it serves as a myth that explains a lot of the problems of the world. I think with COVID continuing, if Trump loses, you have Biden as president, be a kind of lost cause myth. It'll explain, like, why Trump was defeated. It's like, well, the pedophiles won. And I think there's a real possibility of, like, radicalization.
And you mentioned the Tea Party. I mean, when I covered the Tea Party, and you probably covered it too, they believed in a lot of conspiracy theories. There were a lot of birthers in the Tea Party, and they also believed that we were going to have death panels as a result of having the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare pass. Yeah. So they had their own conspiracy theories that turned out not to be true. I looked it up, too. It's the 20th congressional district here in Florida. Vic DeGramont is the proponent of QAnon, and he's in a battle. The race has still not been decided. The election was yesterday, and he's in a battle with Greg Musselwhite over the 20th congressional district nomination for the Republican Party.
And I'll mention that one of the other races. I mean, Loomer is not QAnon, and she ran against someone who was QAnon.
Right.
But she herself is, very much an extremist.
Yeah, so Loomer is far to the right, but she hasn't embraced QAnon, and that was one of those other races that I was saying, well, look, the Republicans didn't choose the absolute craziest person in the race.
Yeah, well, I think in that race, we don't know.
Okay, all right. Ajit here is with us. Ajit, before I let you go, the Democratic Convention has had its second night. What's your quick take on what you've seen so far and read about so far in the first two nights of the convention?
Yeah, I think there's a real strong emphasis on emotion and on, personal issues, like the decency of Joe Biden and his friendship with John McCain. And I think that there's not been a lot on policy, and I think that's going to be, in some ways, the reprise of 2016 with Biden as being a more kind of popular figure than Hillary Clinton was. But, I mean, the basic argument that the Democrats are making is a personal one of Trump's unfitness for office, and they really aren't playing up policies at all. I'm not, super enthusiastic about that approach, but I think it could win them. I think there's an assessment that they made that Trump is personally unpopular and people want to change.
And there's been a lot of grumbling by progressives who say that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez only got a little bit more than a minute last night, and that many Republicans, including Kasich on Monday, and then Colin Powell last night, and John McCain's wife, a lot of Republicans are given star billing at the Democratic National Convention.
Yeah, well, like I said, this year we're having two Republican conventions. The Democrats are running the kind of, sane Republicans, and then we'll have the Trump Republicans next week. But it could work.
Gene here, thanks a lot for coming on WMNF. Great to have you here.
Okay, great. Great talking.
Thank you. That's Ajit here, who is the national affairs correspondent at The Nation magazine. And his latest article is QAnon is the future of the Republican Party. And you can see that article at thenation.com. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. And in a few minutes, we're going to open up the phone lines and take your phone calls. Several people have emailed in already with various things that they want to talk about. So I'll start to read those emails in a few minutes. I want to play something from the other night, and we're going to go to PBS for this. This is an interview that Judy Woodruff on PBS did with Miles Taylor. Miles Taylor served as chief of staff at the Department of Homeland Security during the Trump administration. He made headlines on Monday of this week when he became the highest-ranking former administration official to break with the president and throw his support behind Joe Biden. Taylor joined Judy Woodruff on PBS last night to discuss his concerns about President Trump's character and why he chose this moment to share those concerns about the president's character. And let's listen to this interview, and then we'll open up the phone lines and take your phone calls.
Miles Taylor served as the chief of staff of the Department of Homeland Security during the Trump administration. He made headlines yesterday when he became the highest-ranking former Trump administration official to break with the president and throw his support behind Joe Biden. And Miles Taylor joins us now. Thank you very much for talking to us. So you were with the Trump administration for 2 years at the Homeland Security Department. You've worked only for Republicans before that. Why come out now?
Well, Judy, first and foremost, thank you for having me this evening. I really appreciate it. I would say this is the most important thing about timing. We are in the election of our lifetimes. And I know we say that every cycle, but that's really what this is. There's no real good time to come out and criticize the president. In fact, for me, I've been accused of this being for fame and for money. Look, in Trump's Washington, this is going to be bad for my pocketbook, bad for my personal life, bad for my career. But right now, what I think is incumbent on all of us, especially Republicans, is that we put country over party. Now, if I'd come out and talked about Donald Trump a year ago when I left the administration, he's a master of distraction. He would have buried it within a day, and it wouldn't have mattered to voters. But right now, American voters are reviewing the president's resume. They are in the process of deciding whether he should be rehired into the office in which he sits. So I think there's no more important time for me or other ex-Trump officials to come out and actually talk about what the experience was inside the administration and what kind of man sits behind the resolute desk in the Oval Office.
Well, you're not only criticizing him, you are saying that the country is less secure because he's the president. That is just about the worst thing someone could say about a president, because they take an oath to protect, preserve, and defend the Constitution. What is it about what he has done that you've seen that makes you believe the country is less secure with him as president?
Well, Judy, I don't take the allegation lightly, and it's not something that I level very easily against a president of the United States. In fact, during the Trump campaign, I actually helped out informally with Trump's national security team. My hope was that, in the unlikely event that he won, we would at least have a responsible foreign and defense policy for this country. And I think all of us who went in, from General Kelly to General Mattis, Rex Tillerson, you can go on down the list, we all wanted him to succeed. But I think what we found day in and day out is that when it came to critical national security issues, the president didn't have the instinct to make the right decisions. Not only that, he also didn't have the focus to be able to do what he needed to do.
You've also very specifically accused the president, Miles Taylor, of deliberately wanting to separate children from families at the border, of talking about sharpening the spikes on the border wall so that they would cut human flesh. Are you absolutely certain that the president was personally calling for these things?
Judy, I'll say this. I was there when the president personally called for these things, whether it was incidents in the Oval Office or on the phone. In fact, I can vividly tell you an example about a time I was flying with him on Air Force One, and I was in his cabin, and he said, "How hot can we make the paint on the wall?" I was confused about the question at first, frankly. I didn't know what that meant. How do you make paint hot? What he meant was, can we make it as black as possible so as the sun cooks it, anyone who thinks to touch it would burn their hands? And then on more than one occasion, I heard him talk about how sharp he wanted the spikes to be. Not how tall necessarily to stop someone from climbing over. The president was very clear verbally. He wanted someone physically maimed if they tried to come over the wall. And look, you can believe in border security and be on the right or the left. I believe in border security. We need to have a strong border and a strong immigration system, but also one that's welcoming and consistent with America's open arms towards immigrants. But we don't do that by trying to create sharp barrier bollards on the southwest border that cut people's arms off who are fleeing violence and persecution. But that's what this man wanted to do, and I think it spoke a lot about his character.
And you went on, you've gone on with chapter and verse. You wrote an opinion piece in the Washington Post yesterday. You've talked about his wanting, and I'm quoting here, demand to shut off congressional appropriated funds to a foreign ally that had angered him. Can you spell that out?
You're going to hear a little bit more about this from me, Judy, in the coming weeks. But what I will say is this, and some of these countries won't surprise you. We've got allies south of the border who on multiple occasions, and it might be something the president saw in the morning when he woke up and watched the news, he would ring up the secretary or he'd see us in a meeting and he would say, that's it, no more money for these people. Not recognizing, though, that some of that money that we give to those countries actually helps stop drugs, stop terrorists, stop child rapists from getting into this country and from escaping justice, right? A lot of the aid we give to those countries isn't superfluous. It's aid we give for really important law enforcement priorities and humanitarian priorities.
Just finally, you said others are going to be speaking out. Will they be at a level higher than your level? Will they be cabinet level?
I really hope so, Judy. And I'm talking to a lot of folks right now, and I'll say there's people inside this administration and those who've departed this administration who agree with me on this point. And I hope that they'll see in the lead up to the election that it's very important to get out there. There are some folks who are getting ready to do that. I hope others will join the team. But at the end of the day, this really isn't about Donald Trump. That's the first step. It's about the vote in November. Really, this is about the country. It's about the America we want to live in. It's about an America that's not GOP values or liberal values. It's about an America that goes back to our founding principles. The president couldn't even name those founding principles right now if you asked him. We've got to move beyond. And in the post-Trump era, we're going to restore the party. But more importantly, we're going to restore the country. And it's going to take people banding together and moving on. And I actually think Joe Biden has got the character to do that. Even if I disagree with him on key policy issues, I think he's got the character to bring the country back together.
Last question. Do you still consider yourself a Republican?
I consider myself a Republican, but in a post-Trump Republican Party. So I'm going to be doing everything that I can after this president loses re-election to make sure that we rebuild the party, rebuild the platform, expand the tent, and show that we're for empowering Americans and a more inclusive society and a very strong America going into this century.
Miles Taylor, formerly with the Department of Homeland Security, we thank you very much.
That was Miles Taylor, who was being interviewed on the PBS NewsHour, which you can see on WEDU-TV with Judy Woodruff. Miles served as chief of staff at the Department of Homeland Security during the Trump administration, and he came out this week becoming the highest-ranking former administration official to break with the president and throw his support behind Joe Biden. What do you think? Our phone number is 813-239-9663. So we've had really two views of the future of the Republican Party. Miles Taylor thinks that his view will emerge as the future of the Republican Party after the election. And we also heard Jeet here give his view about the future of the Republican Party after the election. There were primary elections yesterday, and perhaps some of the most shocking results were with school board races, where incumbents were either thrown out by the voters, or they're going to face a runoff in November. There appears to be some voter dissatisfaction with incumbent school board members, and we could talk about that. There were interesting congressional races here in the Bay Area. We could talk about that. Whatever else is on your mind. I see a couple of phone lines that are ringing right now. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. And our email address is dj@wmnf.org. And we'll take your phone calls in just a moment. I'm going to read some of these emails first. Suzanne writes, regarding one of the callers at the top of the show, one of the comments, she writes, for the man who left a message that said that the dead person mentioned Monday night during the DNC could have gotten COVID in an elevator, etc. She said he wore a mask everywhere he went and was careful until Trump said it was okay to go without a mask and go to bars, writes Suzanne. So, Suzanne, thanks for that. And this email from David regarding QAnon, David writes, it's strange that folks put so much trust in Q and his crazy QAnon conspiracy theories. These theories are fiction, and we don't even know who Q is, and yet these chumps fall for this stuff? Question mark. It's crazy, man. Only in Trump land could someone stupid or something stupid like QAnon catch on nationwide. That's David's email. Jack writes this: I listened to all the Trump supporters complaining about the negative statements. Where were they for the 8 years of the Obama administration when they tried to rip him apart on talk radio and Fox News? They have to be tone deaf, writes Jack. And Jeff writes, as I understand it, no children were found in the basement of Comet Ping Pong Pizza in Washington, D.C., which is part conspiracy theorists of the QAnon stripe believe that the Comet Ping Pong Pizza place in Washington is one of the center places of the pedophile ring. Well, Jeff writes, as I understand it, no children were found there in the basement. I would have expected that to damage the QAnon credibility, writes Jeff. Jeff, thanks for that. Apparently it didn't, because the QAnon is alive and well. And then Michael writes, as for QAnon and the likes, my dad always says, don't feed them and they'll go away, writes Michael. Well, if you go to conservative circles, including major party political websites, Republican Party political websites, it's being pushed around the country. Dennis in Oldsmar writes, where are they going to go and what will they do if Trump loses, accepts defeat, and dries up and blows away? Q can no longer be a high-ranking Trump associate, so who will be serving then? Or so who will he be serving then? That's the fun with conspiracy theories. There's no end because there was no logic or proof to start. I really want to make bets with them about the outcome of WWE wrestling matches, writes Dennis in Oldsmar. Let's take a few phone calls. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. We're going to go to Danny in Tampa. Danny, what's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning, Rob. Excellent interview by Miles Taylor on PBS tonight, and this morning also I saw him. Yes, I think that I have a guest suggestion for you. I think that you ought to have Lionel and try to get him on, since he's such a big so-called leader of the QAnon movement, and let him take some questions from callers, or you just interview him yourself. Without questions from callers. I think that would be very interesting to make him maybe go ahead and sweat a little bit, you know? And also, I don't know if you've heard, Kim Jong-un has ordered every owner who owns dogs to go ahead and give them up. It just started a couple of days ago. I saw it on the local Japanese TV here that they carry here, NHK, and to go ahead and feed and to kill them. This is to kill them and feed them to the people because they don't have enough food. This is one of the guys that Donald Trump says is a good guy. But the main reason I'm calling you, the main reason, I'm going to try to be quick. Yesterday, I caught an excellent interview with Anderson Cooper and Mike Lindell of MyPillow. First time I've ever seen him interviewed, and Anderson goes, wait a minute, that's Mike Lindell, CNN. He was trying to go ahead and peddle this this drug here that he's talking about that's, first of all, comes from a toxic plant. You might have heard about it already. Of course, it's another crazy Fox theory, right? A cure, a quackery cure. Trying to tell Anderson Cooper about it. Anderson Cooper was actually, he was telling him over and over, first of all, you're not a scientist. He says, no, you're not a doctor. He says, no, I'm not. He says, yet what study have you put? Oh, there's a study. 100 people have taken it already. Has it been proven on, has it been tested on animals? No, it hasn't been tested on animals. What's the name of the study? Well, it's not in front of me right now. Who sponsored the study? He couldn't answer a question. He couldn't answer it over and over again. And, of course, he kept to say, well, you don't let me talk. First, this guy has taken a lot. This guy was a drug addict all the way up to when he met Trump, and then said that Trump was ordained by God and was the smartest human being he's ever met in his life. That goes to show where he's coming from. And he kept saying, all he kept saying was, Jesus Christ, I'm for the people, and Jesus Christ, and Donald Trump is the greatest president in the history. And Anderson Cooper says, let me ask you something. You said, even when you're my pillow, products. You've been sued. Have you not been sued before? He says, well, yeah, but those were said. Oh, really? What was it about? I believe that you were running a buy one, get one free, and you're still doing it. When really and truly, when they added it all up, it wasn't even a discount. It was the regular price, and you were trying to peddle it. Buy one, get one free.
Well, Danny, I'm glad you're watching television so we don't have to.
I'm talking about Michael Now, come on, make a joke out of it. Mike Lindell needed to be taken to task. He needed to be taken to task because he is another con man, another liar, who is putting dangerous information out there about a drug that has not been proven, and for people to go ahead and take it. I mean, I don't discount that. Don't discount that, Rob.
Okay, well, Danny, I'm trying to talk about the QAnon, the elections, and the future of the Republican Party, and a lot of our listeners don't have the chance to watch as much TV as you do.
Just like Natalie Wood, right? She really, you couldn't care less about her death either, right? Thank you.
Uh-oh. Well, Danny's mad at me. I'm sorry. But, I appreciate Danny's call, but I'm not sure if there is this QAnon conspiracy that does have leverage in the Republican Party, and I'm trying to steer the conversation towards the future of the party. I'm sure Danny is well-intentioned. He's a good guy. But there's a lot of things that we could talk about. And unfortunately, I haven't interviewed the pillow guy. I didn't see the interview. And I think it takes us a little bit off track. And I appreciate Danny giving us the report about everything he's watched on TV. But it's also helpful to have callers who call in and try to address the topics presented, too. That's a little bit more helpful. The guy Lionel used to be a frequent caller to WFLA radio. That's who Danny was talking about. Let's go to Patty in Sarasota. Patty, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Okay, wow. I appreciate Danny's passion because I know he, feels, well, he's passionate about what's happening and got to give him credit for that. Okay, I'm torn because there's one issue that I pray and hope Joe Biden upholds, and because I am a believer in Jesus, I don't like to say Christian right now because of what's going on, Israel. My hope, Trump bumbled into doing the embassy with Israel, and I don't think he cares so much about the Jewish people because he would have stood up for them during Charlottesville, when they were chanting, Jews will not replace us. He would have strongly stood up for them and the others that represents, but he didn't do that. So I think the Christians need to look at that. And I have two things I would just like to say that I like my favorite scripture, but I believe in prayer and wisdom because there's so much kooky Christianity. It's very upsetting. There's something Jesus said, and I always forget which gospel. He did say, I send you out as sheep among the wolves. Be wise as the serpent, but gentle as a dove. Basically saying, know your enemy. And I think a lot of times people just eat like baby birds what Trump is doing because of two issues. Abortion and supposedly Israel, but I don't think he cares about the Jewish people because he would have stood up in Charlottesville. Very blatantly, he would have stood up. So I think now, more than ever, wisdom's needed because it's giving God and his son a very bad name. So I'm just praying Joe Biden, that's my one issue. I'm praying he upholds friendship with Israel because that means a lot to me because of Jesus. And that's it.
Okay, Patty, thanks a lot. Patty checking in on the religion beat for us. Thank you, Patty. We probably should do a program about the agreement that was announced last week between the UAE and Israel. There was a story on NPR just a few minutes ago that there may be some hitches to it. One of the big questions I have is if Prime Minister Netanyahu said that the settlement expansion is only temporary, and UAE's understanding was that this was a halt to the settlement expansion. It seems like there's a difference of opinion about what the agreement actually means, and I think I'd like to hear from somebody authoritative just to discuss what does Prime Minister Netanyahu mean when he says that the expansion of the settlements is temporary. It's an important issue. I haven't discussed it yet on this program, but thanks for tuning in. I was kind of hoping that we could talk about the elections, the future of the Democratic, the Republican Party, rather, and the QAnon conspiracy theory. Maybe that won't work out today. Let's take a few more phone calls. Let's go to Richard in Tampa. Richard, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Well, I agree with what the speaker was talking about, the interview about America and country first. And how that could sway some of these Republicans to actually tilt the election, especially especially people with military history in their family, you know, decades of military history in many families of true Americans in this country, and they can see through this. I've been sitting back on the sidelines. I look at Donald Trump all the time. I look at Joe Biden. I look at just what happened. I think a woman is good to get introduced into the equation, which will help balance things out, maybe get more family values back into the equation of Americans and how we all care about each other as Americans and, you know, the future of our country. So I think a lot of that might unite us in a way. So I'm going to go with Joe Biden. I think I'm more set on more of a balance, and they can say what they want about him being old and blah, 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 but if he has the right cabinet and the right support of the people behind him and the American people, I think we can get through what we're going through right now.
All right, Richard. Thanks a lot, Richard. Thank you for the phone call. All right, good to hear from you. Karen writes this: I was really disturbed to hear that the couple in St. Louis that threatened Black Lives Matter protesters with guns are going to be at the Republican National Convention next week, along with the young man that mocked and got in the face of the indigenous protester. They are truly the party of hate, writes Karen in Dunedin. Karen, thank you for your views. And Kevin writes this: Republicans believe conspiracy theories, question mark, the party of family values and trickle-down voodoo economic theory, question mark. Gullibility is no excuse for believers who are a modern-day version of the Flat Earth Society, writes Kevin. And then Tom writes, Pence is Q. I don't know if Tom has any inside information about that, but Tom, thank you for that. 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. And Linda writes this: I think it would be a good idea to interview Stuart Stevens and his book, It Was All a Lie. Why do you think some Republicans are coming out against the administration, writes Linda. Yeah, Stuart Stevens was on Fresh Air last week, and we carried on our HD3 channel in the afternoon. I think it was Wednesday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Fresh Air is on today on our HD3 channel at 3 o'clock. Stuart Stevens, a former Republican bigwig, who is now pretty disenchanted with the direction the party has taken. 813-239-9663 is our phone number, and thanks to Cindy Philpott, who's our phone producer today. And let's go to Jeanette in Gulfport. Jeanette, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hi, I just wanted to mention about Marjorie Taylor Greene. Does anybody know who that is?
Yeah, we were just talking about the QAnon conspiracy theory. Yeah,
right, that's why I called about her, because she's just blatantly racist, and she just got won in the primaries.
Yeah, she won in her Georgia primary last week, and she's a QAnon believer and pretty hostile too, I think, to Democrats. I mean,
and Trump gave her a big hug, and he just loves her. So it's very obvious that it might be going towards QAnon in the future as a Republican.
Yeah. So she said in one video, "There's a once in a lifetime opportunity to take this global cabal of Satan worshiping pedophiles out, and I think we have the president to do it." She said in a video.
That's scary.
So, yeah.
And I'd also like to say that what the interview on PBS, the person said, I'm sorry, I forget his name.
Miles Taylor,
that right. That he wants to put spikes at the top of the wall and paint it black. I'm not surprised that he wants to do that at all, because he is a really hateful person.
Yeah.
Evil.
Jeanette, thank you. Thank you
You're
for your
welcome.
Thoughts. And 813-239-9663. Let's go to Deborah in Lutz, who wants to talk about QAnon. Hi, Deborah. Thanks for calling in. What's up?
Hey, Rob. I'm really glad you're doing a show on QAnon. I have a friend that's totally immersed in all of this stuff, and the stuff he posts on Facebook is, it's amazing that anybody can be sucked into this stuff. His family is talking about how they can do an intervention or something to get him back to reality. But I think if we're going to talk about QAnon, we should be talking about what we can do about this kind of stuff, not so much because people like my friend is sucked into it, but when you have politicians running who are part of spreading lies, very dangerous lies, that's a very scary thing. And I know people get wrapped up about First Amendment. They should be able to put anything out there that they want to, and anybody that wants to can say what they want. But when we get to the point of having politicians that people look up to as authority figures spreading this stuff, and then we've crossed a line, I think. And maybe you can get on a future show somebody that's an expert on the Cambridge Analytica scandal. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, it was an important topic of having to do with the 2016 election, yes.
Well, and also how it relates to QAnon, and let me just be even more basic. I'm not an expert on how algorithms work, but the way that someone like my friend got caught up in this is, Facebook at one time allowed these data mining companies to have profile information on people. And they had come up with a formula for how to find people that would be vulnerable to this. And it included veterans, because, and I'm a veteran, so, you know, I'm not the pot calling the kettle black here. Veterans who are used to being told what to do and not questioning. People who are evangelical Christians and other people in very conservative types of faith and so forth. In other words, they had this list of things that people identified with that would make them more vulnerable to believing in this whole story that they were concocting. So I only say this because I'd love to see a show with somebody out there that can speak to that, on how they did this in the beginning. And I think that's key to getting some of the people that are into it, or maybe they're just kind of cautiously sticking their toe in the water to see if they want to be in it. If they can see how it actually works, how they dupe people, I think we might be able to shed some light on this.
Yeah, well, that'd be a great topic, and I will look for a guest who can talk about that.
Great. Deb, thank you, Rob.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you. 813-239-9663. Traveling Nurse says, I'm going to keep my comments very short and to the point. Religion has no business in politics, writes Traveling Nurse. Thank you for that, Traveling. And then Matt says, there was no basement in the Pizzagate restaurant. Thank you, Matt. I've not been to that pizza place in D.C., I do. Next time I'm in D.C., though, I do want to go to it. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Thomas in Palmetto. Thomas, thanks for calling in. What would you like to say?
Hey, so obviously your audience doesn't really know anything about the QAnon movement. It just keeps on going on and on about what the mainstream repeats, and I'm not surprised.
Are you part of the QAnon movement, Thomas?
No, I'm not, but I just actually...
Are you an adherent?
...science, and I understand the way movements happen, and so I have researched QAnon quite thoroughly because it's an interesting subculture in America right now. So, are you familiar with what QAnon actually is?
Yeah, we spent the first 20 minutes of the show talking about it, yes.
Okay, so just to let people understand that Julian Assange released Podesta's emails. Did you cover that? I didn't hear that. I didn't hear it.
Yeah, well, that story came out a long time ago.
Okay, now, so in those emails...
Allegedly.
There's many references to words like hot dogs and pizza and cheese and walnut sauce, and these are all in emails that are public, and anyone can go read them, and this is shared between, you know, people, certain people inside... mostly Democratic Party and also the hierarchies of society.
So Thomas, let's just get to the bottom of this. Do you think that Hollywood is filled with pederasts and they're only Democrats, so there's no Republican pedophiles? Is that basically what you think? And do you think that the only pedophiles in the country are Democrats? Let's just get to the bottom of it. What do you think?
Okay, no. Personally, me, no, I do not. I think pedophilia is rampant. I think it's across all spectrums, all fields.
And do you think that soon President Trump is going to usher in the storm and arrest thousands of people who are part of the deep state? Do you think that's about to happen?
Well, that's pretty broad.
Well, but do you think, basically that's what QAnon says, that President Trump is investigating the deep state. They're all pedophiles. He's going to round them up. Do you think that we're on the verge of that, and is that why you support President Trump?
I didn't say I supported Donald Trump.
Well, just give me the facts, though. Do you think that we're on the verge of a roundup of this deep state pedophile ring?
Okay. You're talking.
Yes or no?
Yes or no what?
Do you think that we're on the verge of the roundup of the pedophile ring? Thomas, I'm not going to play with you. I just don't want to play that game. Either you answer the question or you don't. Let's go to Rob in Thanota, Sassa. Rob, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Oh, thank you. Sorry, hang on.
Uh-oh. You have COVID-19?
Yeah, right. I just came down with it.
Oh, poor guy.
No, you mentioned Bill Buckley. I've called about this a long time ago, but see, we don't have that person anymore. Buckley worked very hard to legitimize the Republican Party through his outlets, his books. You know, he had a column, he had a television show, and, you know, he wrote many, many books. You know, likewise, George Will presented a very sort of stable voice, and neither of them wrote in a populist vein. They wrote for educated audiences. But with the rise of someone like Rush Limbaugh, you saw this vulgarization of the dialogue, and that's just steadily continued. And even if there were another Bill Buckley out there willing to assume that role and able to, I don't know that he could have enough influence given the sort of chaotic nature of the media landscape now. In other words, it's not enough to have a column. You know, everybody has.
Yeah, that's what Jeet said. Jeet said, he said there were gatekeepers back then. I'm not sure it's good to have gatekeepers, but he said at least if you had gatekeepers, you couldn't have all these crazy conspiracy theories proliferating. I like more speech, so I'm not in favor of a lot of gatekeepers. But
there's always a double-edged sword.
Yeah, there is. That's true.
When you have everyone having equal access to the population, you know, I don't want to say that people need to be somewhat conditioned.
But I think that's why you need a show like this that's going to take
a
hard look at QAnon. You're not going to get that on any talk radio station here in the Tampa Bay area. So
no, I agree.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing that we have that, and I thank you all for it. But I do think it's good that people are actually listening that are sort of on the other side. But I don't know. I mean, as far as QAnon becoming the future of the party, oh, God. You know, I hate to think that's true. I'm sort of with you. I think it's going to remain like the Birchers were. But I'm not sure there's anyone
else. Buckley put an end to the Birchers temporarily, and then in the last 10 years, the Birchers morphed into the Tea Party, and now they're one of the biggest dynamics in the Republican Party.
I just don't know if anyone, any single voice out there has the leverage that someone like Buckley had to sort of push them out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I'm going to bring it up on my TV show in a couple of weeks. I'm going to talk with a leading conservative about that very topic. So, Rob, thanks a lot.
Great.
Thank you. Good to hear from you. Brad writes this: how about giving a weekly show to Chuck and Danny, your callers, so they can debate the hot topics? They both seem to have a lot of time on their hands, and it would make a very entertaining hour, writes Brad. Well, it's not a bad idea. Maybe we could put it on sometime. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. Thanks for listening to WMNF in Tampa. And let's go to John in St. Pete. John, thanks. What's on your mind?
Hi, Rob. I think basically, well, I watched some of the convention last night, so I have hopes that people are actually going to go out and vote. But as far as what the topic was, to me, it's the Republican Party has completely turned in to a cult, and now there's just derivatives of the cult. There's all little sub-cults all connected to it. Anybody who talks to anybody that they know who's a Republican anymore, they buy into all this different stuff. I mean, they just absolutely, and I'm talking about some pretty bright people, you know, not just, you know, some poor guy who lives in his basement and, you know, anything can, you know, turn him on like a switch and he's going to go do something stupid or erratic. I think it's completely turned into a cult, and these are really bright people that'll just follow any derivative of anything that Trump says, and they're willing to do it. Hillary, if you ever watched the Hillary Clinton interview on Hulu, it was only over the past several months, And actually, she did an interview on Howard Stern,
All right, and John, people should look that up. I'm sorry to say we're out of time. John, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, I will. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115. I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Thanks a lot for tuning in. I'm Rob Lori. This is WMNF in Tampa. Our phone producer, Cindy Philpott. Thank you, Cindy. Stay tuned for...